Today's April 19th, 2026. Current Bitcoin price is $75,800.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, just another Sunday.
Another fun day. Plus side, I had messaged you, I think on Friday, about my pipes possibly freezing, even though we're in April. Yeah. Everything came out good.
Good.
Did some blankets. I did some thermal tape on some of them. I did tarps, and they all survived. No breaks, so... Hooray. Opened up the valves just a little bit and let that water run through. In the years in living in this house, I've never had it get that cold this late in spring.
Well, on the flip side, I've never seen a day in March above 90 locally. That's what we had, like at the beginning of March, it was getting in above 90s for a few days. And it's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, absolutely. And I know that's like, people are like, why are you talking about the weather? It's like, hey, we still live.
Yep. We have lives outside of Bitcoin.
We do. And I mean, I think we'll have some pretty interesting stories for you all. There was some viral clips that went out about maybe Bitcoin was created by the CIA that I think we're going to want to touch on. And then there's some advancements with Elon. And then we made a promise about having a little bit more of a discussion on quantum on this episode. So we're going to dive into that. But before we do all that, we got to go through our normal stuff. And how are our theoreticals looking with this current price movement that we've seen?
Yes. Well, I mean, Bitcoin's up $5,000 since we recorded last week. So, you know, theoreticals are going to be doing a lot better. First theoretical buyback in October 2023. $3,000 got you 0.0885 Bitcoin, and that investment is now worth $6,708.
That's nice. That's good.
That's pretty good. second theoretical buy. Yeah, last week, lately it's been kind of treading water, but if you would have purchased $1,000 right at the halving, which is April 19th, 2024, exactly 2 years ago today, that's $1,000 crazy. Investment... Yeah, that $1,000 investment is now worth $1,186. So it's up some, but it's not exactly doing gangbusters.
Man,
18%. So
yeah, it's like, I'm glad we're seeing the positive price action. I don't know we still have a few hours today before we get our close. Obviously, I'm guessing we're probably going to stay. I'm going to guess above the 75,000 mark for the weekly close. I don't know if there's going to be any pressure. Maybe we'll even rally a little bit more, but it was kind of crazy this week. We actually got up to 78, and there was a big resistance point, like whether or not we could get above 75. So if we get it close above 75, we may see a little bit of a upswing for a little while.
Yep, a new level of support, basically.
Yeah, yeah. We've got to see if we can hold this number where we're at. There was. Combination of short squeeze liquidations that took place. And I think it was over 323 million. And that's part of the reason why we've seen some of the rally. Some of it's been due to, obviously, like the Iran conflict, I think has been, it's not over by any means. We haven't reached an agreement, at least as far as I know at this point. Have you heard of anything?
I just heard that there was an agreement with Israel to stop bombing Lebanon. But, that's pretty crazy.
Quit bombing them.
I mean, we're fighting Iran, and then Israel's like, okay, time to go start taking on Lebanon.
Yeah.
I mean, Hezbollah does, you know, they do have Hezbollah hotspots out there, but it's just one of those things. You're just shaking your head. It's like, hey, this is a powder cake. Let's just throw some more dynamite on it.
Yeah. Well, there's not enough going on. We've got to pour some gasoline out there. Oil prices are down. I think from last time we recorded, it looks like it's down about $10. And then the DXY, that's kind of weird. The DXY is actually up a little bit, and I guess that makes sense as to why Bitcoin came down a little bit, because typically we see the inverse reaction between the DXY and Bitcoin. So DXY is up like 0.5% or 0.05% right now. So it's kind of interesting. Gold is at $4,837. Silver is at $80. Looks like everything else is kind of, I don't know, the stock market looks like it's doing okay. Dow Jones is not above 50,000 though, Rick.
Hey, but it at least had a good week.
It did have a good week.
At least a good few days after the ceasefire was announced. So,
and then we were looking at the, before we got going, we were looking at the charts for the ETFs, and it's still, I mean, we've got some more black days than what we do red. And it looks like, so we are trending in the proper direction. April 17th actually looks like that was a really good day. And we had discussed, I think last episode, Morgan Stanley launched their ETF, and I think they were the cheapest.
Yep. And they're now on this ticker that you grab.
Yeah. And it looks like we are, like, they've had pretty positive inflow days. I wouldn't say that they're not massive. They're not, like, if you look at IBIT on that same chart, like, IBIT, like, is huge compared to them.
Yeah.
But it's still positive movement. So, yeah, I think that pretty much covers what's been going on with the Bitcoin price. We had talked a little bit before we got going here. There was that, and you apparently, what did you call him, Professor?
He's kind of, I think his YouTube handle or something is Professor Zhang.
Yeah. So there was a clip that came from the Jack Neal podcast, and I think the guest was Zheng Zequin, and I may be saying his name incorrectly on the end. He claims that Bitcoin was created by the CIA. Now, I think this guy has risen to popularity because there was predictions that he made, I think, a year ago about the United States getting drawn into a conflict with Iran. Is that right?
Yeah, that basically is. Yeah, so, you know, basically right at the kickoff of the war, end of February, you know, he kind of blew up because he did call it. At least a year ago, and so people have been having him on. He's been making rounds on all sorts of different shows, from Piers Morgan to, you know, he's doing lots of interviews right now. That's what I'll tell you.
He's taking advantage of his 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, when I listen to him talk, he actually seems fairly smart, and I'm not saying he doesn't have an interesting take on different things, but he said some kind of interesting things about Bitcoin on this podcast that you're referring to.
Yeah, and you, I don't know. I think it's kind of ridiculous because, and I had heard part of the statement, but it sounds like you heard it a little bit better. So he was saying, tell us what he was talking about the servers.
Well, he was just basically saying, where's Bitcoin, where are the servers for Bitcoin housed? It's like, then you know where it's controlled. I'm like, there is no servers for Bitcoin.
That's not centralized in any way, right?
Yeah, there is no central servers. There's the entire Bitcoin, you know, network and the hash rate and all that stuff. That's what's running Bitcoin. So anybody who has a node or, you know, some miners, they're the ones who are running Bitcoin.
Yeah, and so I think that was kind of interesting. And that's where I feel like it's the meme, and I'm going to say it wrong because I said it wrong earlier. Tell me you don't understand Bitcoin without telling me you don't understand Bitcoin. Is that right?
Exactly. Yep. That's
it. Yeah. So, I mean, he's saying that and we've heard this theory before, that it originated from the CIA. And so it kind of blew up. This blew up on X with the crypto army talking about this. And it's always the conspiracy with the geopolitics of Bitcoin. I think there was, and I can't remember the name of the guy, but he had raged for a while about how Bitcoin was created by Putin. And he's like, you wouldn't hold it if you knew who created it. And it's like, dude, do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's that old guy.
Mm-hmm.
His name will come to me after the podcast, so we'll just go ahead and skip it. I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And so it's funny because we see this cycle repeat in Bitcoin over and over and over. We had all, I think you had probably even heard, like, in the early days of Bitcoin, like, it all was created by the CIA think tank. Mm-hmm. Like, and ultimately at this point, it doesn't matter where it came from.
Well, I don't know. If I did find out, like, we legitimately knew that Bitcoin was created by the CIA, I think I would be divesting myself pretty quickly.
Well, but I mean, but I guess I understand that point, but I mean, at this point, it's cultural. Like, if they had, they don't have the control over it.
Well, that's kind of what makes me think that it didn't come from them. Though, if you want to talk about people talking about the true originator of Bitcoin, John McAfee, that crazy, you know.
Dude, he was a legend. Yeah.
He was a legend. But he talked about who he thought it was, and he gave several interviews, and he never said his name.
Mm-mm.
And but he's like, oh, yeah, I think I've talked to him. And I don't know. His take on it is really interesting. And so if you want to go look at some videos on Twitter or X and just look at John McAfee Bitcoin or something like that, listen to him to talk about it, I think he has some really interesting takes. And he's been gone for like 10 years now or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's crazy to think about. Yeah, he's been gone for quite a while. And he, dude, what did he do? He gave computers to Hillary Clinton, to their administration. He got access to like all their systems. And it was like, that guy was insane. Faked a heart attack to get out of some sort of jail. And
he was in jail. Yeah, he was in Guyana. He gave, and that's the thing, though. He gave the police their computers too. And then he married an escort that he had been sleeping with.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just legendary lifestyle. He's pretty wild.
He was pretty wild. Anyways, yeah. So like he had talked about it. I don't know. I think Hal Finney probably knew more about who Satoshi may have been than anyone else, but he's gone. I think it's just kind of interesting to me. And I think at this point, like I said, I mean, Bitcoin has become, I think, so much larger than what Satoshi initially started with. Satoshi always had a thought that it would go this way, but it's powerful enough that people want to claim it as theirs. I think that's the other part of it. Because we also had, and I can't even think of his name now because he's kind of fallen out of the news, but he was the one that started up Satoshi's Vision.
Is it Craig Wright or something?
Yeah, like Craig that? Wright. That guy, like, that was like, oh, I'm Satoshi. It's like, dude, he knew that nobody was going to step forward to be Satoshi. So he tried to claim the mantle and he couldn't prove signatures. There was a bunch of stuff. And I don't know. I the person who created Bitcoin, I don't think had that. It doesn't seem like they had that big of an ego because they are worth so much money and they've never touched those coins.
Yep.
And that's, I mean, how is that for, that's pretty damn tempting.
I guess. I don't know. That part of me thinks that they're gone.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Hal Finney.
Yeah, I think they could be gone too. Or they fell on that sword and whatever they did, they destroyed any access that they would have had to get to them, to those coins. Because I think there's like a million in Satoshi's wallet.
Yeah.
That's quite a chunk of change.
Well, speaking of that, the next topic, when those coins do move, I think it'll be an indication of something else.
Yeah, so We're gonna jump here a little bit. We talked last episode about quantum computing maybe it was two episodes ago. We kind of touched on it past two episodes. So I think we promised that we're going to discuss a little bit more because I don't know enough about it. I wanted to dig a little bit into this. So right now, quantum computing, like right now, it's not currently a problem for 2026. But Bitcoin is a 100-year asset, right? So you have to scale to those time frames. And although quantum computing isn't a threat currently, it's something that could happen eventually. So the big And I was trying to really understand what the big concern is. Like, because I think we were talking about mining, you know, are the current miners that exist out there, are they still going to function with Bitcoin? Like, if it has to become quantum resistant, stuff like that. And this is what I'm finding. And so by no means take this with a grain of salt. This is not, I'm not a quantum computer expert. But they're saying that it's the ECDSA, which I'd never heard of this before. And it's, that's the elliptic curve digital signature algorithm. And that is a cryptographic algorithm used by Bitcoin to ensure that funds can only be spent by their rightful owners. Apparently, that's where the threat comes in to quantum computing, is that elliptic curve digital signature algorithm can be hacked by quantum computing. It can be broken. Now, what that means is that any, and that's from any coins from the early days of Bitcoin. So like the Satoshi era coins. What that means is there's 25 to 35% of Bitcoin that are still in those old wallets that haven't moved that are going to be quantum vulnerable. So there's a big repositioning on, you know, what does that mean? So SHA-256, which is the main algorithm that secures Bitcoin, is fine. It's secure. That still cannot be broken by quantum at this time, from what I'm understanding. So it's basically, if you have exposed your public keys in the past in some way, shape, or form, that's where the vulnerability comes from.
So it's basically just having your Bitcoin on an old cold storage system.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like a paper wallet.
Right. Yeah. So, and I guess the threat comes from like current quantum machines are, you know, thousands of noisy qubits. And what they're saying is that in order to break Bitcoin and that signature aspect, you've got to have million plus qubits with error correction to be able to do that. So their experts are saying that it's 10 to 30 years away before that is a possibility. The federal government is... Go ahead.
I was going to say, the last episode, I think, when we talked about it, Google put out a paper saying that it's going to happen as soon as 2028.
Yeah.
That's kind of what freaked some people out.
I think that did scare people. And I don't know how much of that is hyperbole. We hear about that all the time. We hear about it with AI. We hear about it with quantum. And that's why I'm saying, like, I don't know for sure. The government is planning to do upgrades to their system in 2030 for these types of attacks. And I still go back to, if you're so worried about Bitcoin is going to be harder to break than your traditional bank accounts.
Yep. Yeah, that's the thing too. Yeah, your bank accounts. And I kind of freaked you out when I told you the nuclear codes.
Yeah. Like, those things, and I mean, I guess the only thing that's part of the saving grace of some of the nuclear stuff, though, is that it's still analog, right? I don't know if they've ever upgraded those.
I think so.
But I mean, the codes themselves, because they have to issue the code to initiate the launch, right?
Right.
And I think that's done from person to person.
Yes.
So... I don't know. It's
on the submarine does not have the codes to their own nuclear weapons.
Right. Yeah. It comes from some, it should be coming from, is it the president? Who is he? The only one that can give nuclear launch?
I think so. Well, assuming he's still alive. I don't know if Iran tried to Khomeini Trump, if you know what I'm saying. I think the responsibility would fall to the next person and next person. So,
yeah. 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 I guess you'd have the succession planning that goes into effect at that point. But that's neither here nor there with what we're talking about on this. But I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of panic that got stirred up from the quantum aspect of things. And I think the big takeaway is that there's time to plan, but not a lot. Especially to get everybody to agree.
Yeah, get yourself a more upgraded wallet. That's basically what we're saying.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. There's post-quantum signature schemes that they're discussing. One of them is called Lithium. One of them is called Sphinx, and that's spelled S-P-H-I-N-C-S+. They're talked about new address types that are PQC enabled, which uses, and I'm going to talk some crazy words here that I have no idea what they mean, BEC 32M format with Witness version 2. This follows the SegWit address structure, which we've already had upgraded into the Bitcoin system, with providing a distinct prefix for PQC transactions.
That meant absolutely nothing to me.
It meant, dude, meant everything. I totally understand it. Don't ask me to break it down for you. It's
okay.
It's below me. I have no idea what that means, it sounds like it's supposed to be some sort of quantum resistant signatures. That's what I'm getting from it. I could be wrong on that, what I just said. I want to preface this. I do not understand quantum. But the other thing I think in this one is interesting. Like if they decide to go with either one of these routes, whether it's the post-quantum signature schemes or the new address types, they have 3 to 5 years for everybody to migrate. Now, the problem comes in is that there's what they call the freeze or prove proposals out there, where basically, like, and we talked about Satoshi-era coins. Satoshi's got like 1 million Bitcoin locked up. As far as it seems to us, it's going to be locked up forever, lost, gone, stolen, or, you know, basically just eliminated. Quantum could access those coins, so what they're talking about is doing an upgrade where you either freeze those accounts and those coins basically remain dormant or unusable, or they have to prove it by moving it to the new address. And what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's a good thing, bad thing?
I have zero opinion on this. This is outside my wheelhouse. You ask me an economics question, I'll give you an answer. This one, I'm just like, sure, sounds great.
Sure, sounds good. I think, I wonder, because I've got some older Bitcoin that I've got like in a like a caduceus type thing. I don't know if you guys remember those or not, or anybody that's been around for a bit within Bitcoin, where it's a older address system where you had to basically, like, it was a thought that you could have these physical Bitcoin devices, and I'm going to say this allegedly, I have this, where you could have that Bitcoin in there, and then you have to break it open to be able to move the coins. But those are based off the older address types. That's really old at this point. So if you don't migrate those off of there, then you may lose access to those coins. And I think that's especially true, like, of the Satoshi stuff. Like, I don't know. I don't know if we should have the right to ban Satoshi from his or her Bitcoin. But I don't know. Well, I mean, it's... Go ahead.
If it gets cracked and then taken, that's going to be an interesting quandary for Bitcoin. And yeah. I think it's going to have some pretty negative implications on the price of Bitcoin at that time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know. That's a interesting quandary to discuss. And I think that's the hard part, is to get everybody to agree on how we're going to move forward with this. But as of like current state, as of today, some of the points that you should take away from this is that avoid address reuse. Like, always generate new addresses, like whenever you're moving coins around or anything like that. Keep your wallets updated, like what Rick was talking about. And eventually, like, you'll have to move your coins to a quantum safe address when the ecosystem's ready for it. They're saying, you know, we don't need to worry about the lattice structure of quantum cryptography or anything like that. Like, that's so far above our heads. There's smarter minds thinking about it. And I mean, basically at the end of the day, quantum is a threat. It isn't a threat to Bitcoin today, but it's going to have to evolve in order to stay ahead of that. I hope, did we make that any better for people?
Probably not. You know what? I feel dumber. No.
I tried.
Well,
man.
No, I think it's good. It's, I mean, that's where the next attack vector. I mean, now how powerful does Bitcoin have to be, or quantum computers have to be able to crack Bitcoin as it's happening live? That's the crazy one, right?
Yeah. If SHA-256 all of a sudden becomes susceptible, and it's only right now the signatures, from my understanding. Because SHA-256, I still go back to, I think they had said, like, SHA-256 and guessing the correct wallet address is equivalent to taking everything in the universe and finding one grain of sand on a beach. If I understand everything. And that's including, like, all the stars and planets and all that stuff. Like, so, yeah, I don't know. I think of that one guy who posted, oh, look, I found Bitcoin addresses, because he was plugging in the phrase words. And, of course, every time you string one together, you're just creating new addresses.
So he was just creating a whole bunch of random Bitcoin addresses before he really knew what he was doing.
Yeah, exactly. He was creating random Bitcoin addresses, and every time you put a string of words together, yeah, they were all empty because you're creating new ones. So I don't know. The last thing I wanted to bring up was a couple weeks ago, Elon posted a animation of this girl with like a baton, and she's wearing a Bitcoin dress, and she was dancing and shaking and doing all this stuff. But we've heard for a while that X is working on bringing payments back. And this kind of goes back to like the original days of PayPal. I think Elon wanted to originally call PayPal X, and he wanted to, you know, do this, all this big old payment system, ended up selling out with the PayPal mafia, all that jazz, right? He's been making posts about what he calls true currency messages. And then X is launching what they call smart cash tags. Within those smart cash tags, the native BTC charts are in the feed. So people are starting to guess that this announcement is that Elon is going to use Bitcoin on X for payments.
Be very interesting. I think that would be excellent for the price of Bitcoin.
It would.
I mean, and the thing is, it's not like how much are people transacting on X, but it's just the fact that it's becoming a part of a really major technological giant. I mean, it's been one of the most interesting platforms, especially since Elon bought it. So
it's definitely entertaining all the time. And I think the big thing to remember about that too is that it's infrastructure, right? So if they create these cash tags and they deploy it on X, like that, all of a sudden that immediately becomes a huge payment network. Bitcoin's its own payment network. It doesn't need anything else to run on it. But I think that's just a Bitcoin on-ramp for a lot of folks that may not have had exposure. I don't know, payments layer, trading venue. Elon's also a troll, so like maybe he won't use Bitcoin. Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe he makes up his own shitcoin. That's probably just as likely. Maybe even more likely.
Tesla coin or SpaceX coin.
X coin.
I don't know. I mean, but it could become X-coin. Bitcoin's biggest front door. It could go that route.
Maybe.
I don't know. That's pretty much all I had to go over today. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
I'm done for today.
You're done for today. You had a rough night last night.
That's right.
But yeah, so quantum wise, don't be afraid. Just stay aware. Like if it comes to a point and we're doing the podcast, we will make sure and remind you all that you need to upgrade or transfer your coins to a safer wallet. And we'll just have to kind of play it from here. Like, but I wouldn't be clutching your pearls over the whole thing yet. And then maybe Elon isn't trolling us. Maybe he'll use Bitcoin for something. But I definitely don't think CIA created Bitcoin, as to our first story. But leaving you in lingered silence. Thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all soon.